All right, welcome to the Arista Gamer Podcast for March 2013. I'm Colby, and I'm joined by Casey and Devin this month.
Yeah, that's not changed.
I won't cuss this time, I promise.
Good, that's great. I mean, it's been a month, and in this month, a whole bunch of crazy nonsense has happened. Namely, and most high-profile of which, is this SimCity problem.
Can I explain it, please?
Please.
My favorite.
Please do it.
Go for it.
I don't want to.
Okay, so starting off, SimCity launched, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, I guess. And a lot of the early reviews came out, like either the day of or a couple days before, and people are saying it's a great game. Always online DRM, having a constant internet connection is kind of a problem because they just don't like it. Well, it came out, and then on the first day, there were massive server-wide issues. People could not log on, and it kept happening because people were comparing this to the Diablo 3 shenanigans that happened, you know, day of launch and the day
yep.
after launch. And then people started reporting that you could get in and play if you bought a copy or digital deluxe copy from the site the day of launch, because a lot of people were reporting there's the pre-orders that couldn't get in, and then people started accusing and a lot of people were accusing Maxis and EA of kind of like padding their wallets by kind of somehow giving priority to people who bought by checking like their version, say, and somehow giving them access early or instant access.
How would the coding be different between the two versions, though?
I don't know, but that's what a lot of people are accusing, because there's literally a marked change between people who had pre-ordered and like pre-installed to people who had just straight up bought it the day of, I think, from the Maxis website.
Or it's a conspiracy, man.
Yeah, I don't necessarily believe it, but there are a lot of people complaining about it at the very least. It was pretty bad because everybody was giving, like, Amazon was getting 1 stars everywhere because nobody could get on. And then when people got on, there were a lot of marked differences like that you wouldn't expect. Like at some point, they turned off the ability to use rabbit mode, which just speeds everything up, because the server couldn't handle it.
Yep.
The city size was a little different than what they expected, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, you get everybody clamoring for, look, give us an offline mode. Like, it is possible to give us an offline mode. You can do it. And EA and Maxis comes out and says, look, they're saying that there's so many complex calculations and procedures for each AI, meaning each sim in the game, that it would be impossible for a PC to handle it. And then I think...
which the community will take as a personal challenge.
Which they did, and some programmer posted a video of him going in and editing the code and having an offline version of it, running it better than what would have been on the server.
Like, which, by the way, I'd like to mention that that it was one line that he had to change. There's one line of code in there that basically is like, oh, well, I haven't had an internet connection. I'll keep trying, and then after 20 minutes, I'm going to shut the game off. If you just comment out that line, or if you just set that variable really high, it doesn't kick you off. You can be offline for indefinitely.
Exactly. And so he was playing it, and since more of the game was running on his PC, it was running better. Like one of the things that people were criticizing Max about was they were saying that the AI for the Sims are super complex, and you know, they're really smart. But people in the process of playing the game were kind of arguing against that, because they'd see Sims that are running into like taking the first job that they had, that are going in the first building that they could, finding the first home, you know, a bunch of dumb things were happening to these smart AI. And so
I don't live here, but I'm going to walk in anyways.
Exactly. Things like that, that don't make sense. And so this is pretty much a pretty big, hilarious, kerfluffle of stuff. And then apparently I just learned today, thanks to Colby, that the head of EA, CEO, is stepping down. I'm like, wow.
Yep. John Riccitiello is officially out of EA. And we don't know if it's directly because of SimCity, but I can assure you it had something to do with it.
I'm betting it's because of the past like 3 or 4 times the entire gaming community has said, why EA? Like Dead Space 2, was it the advertising for Dead Space 2 and Dante's Inferno was terrible? Like people were clamoring how terrible that advertising campaign was. Let's see, Battlefield 3 was not necessarily a letdown, or Medal of Honor was certainly a letdown. I'm sure Battlefield 3 was okay, but people
Battlefield 3, they had a good marketing to begin with, but upon the actual release, I heard nothing about the game anymore. And I played a lot of Bad Company, too, and I mean, I played a lot of it. And when Battlefield 3 was coming around, a bunch of the people that I played those kind of games with back when I still played Call of Duty, I mean, they were really excited about where the game was going to go, certain little details, right down to, as a sniper recon, you can actually, you know, go into crawl mode and you know, you have to worry about the sun glinting off your scope. I mean, it had all these little details about it. But then upon release, I just didn't hear anything. A few of them might play it, but it just never really caught on, and nothing was ever said, nothing tried to advertise for it, and it just kind of fizzled.
Yeah, in essence, EA pretty much just moved on to the next thing, which was apparently SimCity, which is, I think it's kind of a showing of how EA regards the community as a potential buyer, not as like a person that can grow the community and help make the games themselves better by being a part of it.
They just... And by the way, I mean, there's also like another side of this. So Maxis had a Q&A that they did, like Ask Lucy, I think it was, basically one of their marketing people, I think.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, we want to ask you questions about the game. And she was like, okay, here, I'll do a Q&A. But before she did that, the day before, there was like a post from a new user, somebody who had just been registered on the forum or on a forum that was like, well, you know, I mean, sometimes it's not, you know, it's not the developer's fault. I can guarantee you the publisher had these strange requirements, and, you know, it's not always, you know, you can't always count on the developers to do the right thing whenever they're put under a whole bunch of pressure from publishers. And it turns out that somebody tracked it back to her, that it was her that was posting these comments.
Yeah.
So there was a big uproar about that. They kept asking questions, and I mean,
things
basically,
couldn't answer.
Well, that's pretty much something that a lot of things out there do. They do the same thing with book publishings and that. I mean, heck, there's companies out there that you can pay to have positive things posted for your sake on there and everything. So, I mean, it's getting done. Mm-hmm. It's just they were sloppy about it, I guess you could say, or that she was just caught. But, I mean, it's not. I'm not justifying it, of course. That is still pretty pathetic, but still, it's just...
See, I think that Maxis, whatever part of what she said does have a certain amount of traction, and that there are constraints put on by the publishers, but a lot of that is also the developer not willing to fight for their game. Like, they're not willing to kind of put up saying, look, this needs to be part of the game, or this needs to not be part of the game, because it's gonna hurt your sales. Like, I don't think the developers or people that work, that kind of work as clients between them, really know how to word that properly. Because I don't think anybody explained to EA that saying, hey, if you put always on DRM and have your servers take care of the most of the workload, A, they're going to fail, and B, you're going to lose a lot of money. Because I'm pretty sure if you explained it to them that way, EA would be like, oh, okay, let's reconsider our options here.
Well, I mean, it's not even so much that the DRM was a huge problem. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It's the fact that they lied about it so much. Mm. It's that everybody was like, yeah, we should have an offline mode. And they were like, oh, there's no way. You couldn't do offline mode. It'd be impossible. It'd be a crazy amount of code change. And somebody was like, you mean this one line right here?
This one line right here.
Change that one.
In less than 24 hours, it is achieved. With complete total success.
Now, ironically enough, I wonder if this is going to boost sales for them with people as kind of a word of mouth thing, saying, hey, look, you don't have to play with the always on DRM. And so you can just buy the game and play offline like you would within their SimCity. Now, I think you'd do a bit of a disservice to the game, because from what I hear, the part of the online appeal is being able to play with your friends and have your friends manage cities and working with your friends to make a better community in like a general area. And playing offline would kind of, you know, make it to where you're playing by yourself.
In order to get to a main feature for a game, like, you want to play something like this in offline mode, and the only way to do it is to go in and change the actual coding of the game. For me, that just means I'm not going to buy the game yet. I mean, I would love to play SimCity. I freaking loved those games as a kid.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to play this now just because of hearing how much is going on. Even if there are a lot of fixes out there, with what limited time I have, I don't want to spend that time trying to make a game up and running. That's something the developer should have done and been honest about to begin with. So I'm just gonna wait until they get it figured out, and then I'll check it out, which is sad, but I mean, it's just how I am, at least.
Yep. Yeah.
No, I pretty much agree, because I'm in the same boat. I love SimCity. I want to play it so bad, because it looks fun, and the changes they've made looks appealing to me, and I'm not even going to try and touch it yet, which is upsetting. Yep.
It's really upsetting, because that was my one excuse to not have to play Sniper Ghost Warrior 2, and now I have no excuses.
Have fun.
I don't...
I'm sorry. It's got to be done for science!
For Jamaica drums.
For Jamaican drums. So the other thing about SimCity, from what I understand, I haven't played it, but I hear the gameplay is reasonably good, I should say.
There you go.
The only problem is that the AI, as we've mentioned, is kind of stupid. So if you build a casino, in order to actually have people go to it, you have to place it at the entrance of your town. It has to be right where people come in, and that's where they will funnel into. And then after that, you have to have the buses that will go to the shopping district in order to actually maximize your profits and do well in a city. Otherwise, they go in the first building they see. Now, that doesn't sound like smart AI to me, so I have no idea what they're talking about. So the other emerging story, like while this entire thing is going on, is that John Riccitiello is leaving. I think he may have been fired. I'm sure he was pressured to quit or whatever. But if you remember,
to resign.
Yeah, if you remember, he is the man who said, and I quote, "Microtransactions are the future of gaming." That was his quote. He is the one who was like, no, every EA game is going to have microtransactions because that's just the way of the future. And no, John, no it's not.
Incorrect, sir.
And I don't understand. Like, as far as PR goes, this is probably one of the best things that EA could do. If they had if they appointed a new CEO and the new CEO was like, listen, okay, we understand, we've heard everything from you gamers, we understand that you don't trust us anymore, but we're going to work really hard to earn you back your trust. I can guarantee you people would flip on a dime and be like, oh, okay, EA sounds more trustworthy now. That's the same thing that Chevy did whenever they got bailed out by the government. They were like, oh, well, we pay back all of our loans and we're going to make sure that we make great cars for you now. And everybody was like, oh, got Chevy, yeah, you're great, awesome. And I mean, EA could do like they're starting this PR thing to try and gain some more business back. But I mean, as you can tell, every time that EA buys a development studio, that development studio crumbles. It's happening with BioWare. It's happened with Maxis. I mean, Maxis is now owned by EA. It just is. Yeah, it happened with Pandemic. I mean, all of these developers that you're like, oh, yeah, I think I remember great games by these people. I wonder where they are now. Oh, you mean that's what they released?
Never mind.
I think EA is something that, in a bit of a dramatic sense, personifies the whole corporate chug out the next sequel to make more money kind of ideal. That, like, the entire kind of stereotypical idea of what a company would do, it kind of personifies that to us, I'd say.
And that's not even, you're not even being dramatic by saying that. Like, if you polled people right now, as far as gamers go, and you went, hey, which of these publishers do you like the best? EA would be at the bottom of the list. I mean,
probably.
They made Origin. They're talking about microtransactions.
The end. They made Origin.
Yeah, Origin. We can just stop at Origin.
The
really.
End.
And no. I would say making Origin isn't necessarily a bad thing. Pulling every EA game from Steam and putting it on Origin is what killed them.
Now, see that there's actually some controversy over that. So what they're essentially, I mean, there's no real clear indicator that they're the ones who pulled it. It could have been Steam. It could have been Valve being like, okay, you want to build your own platform? That's great. You can host your own games on it. We don't need to host your things anymore.
Stuff. Get out.
Yeah. We're going to take back the server space and use it for other games, you know? Or, I mean, they could have just been like, yeah, why don't you go make your own thing? I guess you don't need us anymore now, do you? And they just press the delete button.
I would love it if there was some dude at an office space going, yeah, fine then, delete.
Yeah, I just, EA, you make your Origin, yeah, it's just stupid logo, too.
Even better if it was like, well, Gabe Newell sitting at his, like, five computers going,
his throne of meat.
I think one of the best examples I can think of with this whole EA pushing out games as fast as they can just to make the money is with a lot of their sports franchises.
EA Sports.
There was the big controversy between the FIFA 2012 and FIFA 2013 soccer games, or I'm sorry, football games, as you were. And the fact that the games were so stinking identical that some of the characters in the character selection menu, they had them side by side, and I can guarantee you would not tell the difference, and except for the fact they changed the font a little bit on the lettering. But yeah, that was about it. That it was essentially the same game that you're paying $60 for, and they just wanted to push it out and get another year slapped onto it.
And the other thing is that the fact that the costs of making the game are getting larger. Like, people are they're putting more investment into the game and into the game industry, that they're expecting a certain amount of return on it, and so they have to push harder on making more games, because I think that's their solution. It's like, pushing out more games for more people to buy is going to get them more money, when in reality it's the exact reverse relation.
Like, well, I mean, so it depends, right? If you're an investor and you're like particularly an angel investor who generally invests in startups, you have to sort of accept that like 30% of the things that you invest in are going to succeed and the rest are not. And you just have to succeed. You have to hope the 30% that do succeed will pay for the ones that don't. Now, that's sort of the mentality that it seems like EA is taking. So they're saying, okay, yeah, we're going to put out all these sports titles. Okay, if this one didn't do well enough, that's fine. We have another release next year. It's not a big deal. SimCity is going to be always on, and how much money would it cost to make it an offline version? Well, we've already said this, we've already said that. Let's just say no, it's impossible, and then whenever, if they cry about it too much, then we'll just go ahead and fix it and put it out again, and nobody will care in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, as far as business attitude goes, it's fine.
It's business, but it's a crappy attitude at the same time.
Yeah.
And, in addition, like, this whole SimCity thing has just been really indicative of the kind of company that EA has sort of evolved into. I remember back in the day hearing EA Sports, it's in the game, and being like, oh, well, you know, they're the sports kind of guys. And then, I mean, they become publisher for all these different things. They own all of these different, you know, they own these different game developers. And as you read more about them, you're like, wow, it seems like EA is just a wasteland. I remember the first time that I ever heard of a development studio being bought out and going down the tube, I was really bummed about it, because it was Rareware. Like, all those games from Rare, like GoldenEye, Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong. I mean, you take all of these excellent games, and you're like, you know, these are defining games in my past. And, you know, Microsoft is like, well, we're going to buy them out to program for the Xbox. And I was like, you know, reading it now, I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I know they stopped making good games right then. But I'm sure at the time everybody was like, oh, yeah, that seems like it's a great idea. It just seems like any time the development studio stops being relatively independent, or they get bought out in their entirety by a company, they're not good. I mean,
Westwood.
Look
at Westwood, man. I love everything they did with Command & Conquer. EA bought them out, and there it went.
I mean, it's Sony bought out, I want to say Sucker Punch, yep. who did Infamous. And Infamous is still pretty good, but I don't hear of any other Sucker Punch games that come out. Don't get me wrong, they're not bad, but it's just, you know, it seems to me that whenever they get bought out by a larger company, it's ugh. And it seems like exactly what's happening with Maxis. I mean, can you imagine if, like, you know, 10 years ago you were like, oh yeah, you know, there's going to be a SimCity coming out one day in which you have to be always online to play it. You can't play it offline. You get notifications from your friends that are building cities, even if you don't really care about it. There's no such thing as playing solo. It has to be playing online, and the AI is going to be pretty bad, but we're going to say it's really good. You'd be like, no, that's not the developer that I know. Maxis puts out quality games. They put out Sim Tower. I mean, come on. Or I think they put out Sim Tower. They put out a whole bunch of SimCity games, and they were great. And you get this, and you're like, this is such a clear example of, right, I made this great game. Let me wrap it in a whole bunch of just nonsense that makes things horrible.
Yeah. I can't help
According to Google, Sucker Punch did Infamous 2 as well.
Ooh.
and a future coming infamous.
Second Son.
Second Son infamous. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's, I think that's probably a good example of what they're, of what they want companies to do when they're either A, owned by Sony or owned by EA, or especially publishers, when they're instructing, like, BioWare, for example. Like, we want you to put out another game. It's going to be just like the other one, or it's going to be a sequel, because we want to make more money off that franchise. Because now I think when you're paying for something like an IP or a series, you're paying for, like, the investment of a popular series that you can make money off of in very many different vectors.
I mean, EA is a business, bottom line, and that's fine. But I don't think that EA sees the value in gamer loyalty. It seems to me like they're not investing in making gamers happy. I mean, heck, Valve, they did that Portal 2 ARG. They didn't need to do that. They invested man hours in that, and they put a whole bunch of people on the job. Why did they do that? To make us happy. Like, that was it. And you know what we did? We loved him for it.
And we,
I mean, I don't think, I think today, if somebody, if Valve came out and they were like, okay, guys, listen, Half-Life 3 is going to be a thing. And once the giant screaming and suicides died down, they're like, but, I mean, it's such a big game. It's so complex. We have to run it on our side. I mean, we have a ton of servers that are going to do it. We're going to try to do, you know, as best connection as we can, but you have to be online to play it. And we're really sorry about that.
The rage that would boil from that crowd.
But the thing is that, like, I can almost guarantee you everybody would be like, oh, this is outrage. This is stupid. But based off of past performance and how much they've shown to care about gamers, people would be like, well, you know, let's give it a try.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm more willing to trust them than I am EA.
Yeah, you definitely give more, I guess, trust in Valve or somebody like Double Fine if they said something that was a little bit off or something that, you know, really kind of made no sense to you or kind of made you a little bit upset. But then if they were most of the time they're also transparent. I think that's a good point, is that they're also transparent about what they need done. Or why they're doing something, or what they're going to do in the future. Like, as much as we won Half-Life 3, and we're sure it's in the works somewhere, Gabe Newell has always, or Valve has always made a statement, oh, we're not going to talk about Half-Life 3 because we're not going to tell you about it, we're not going to say anything about it. And at least with that, with Valve, or with other companies that we'd like, or I say put trust into.
At least when they jerk us around, they're being honest about it.
At least they're being honest about it. And I think that's probably the biggest, like, burn on the gaming community is when you get EA that just straight up lies about it.
Yep.
If they talk to us
like it's some kind of bureaucratic BS that really doesn't need to be spoken.
Yeah. I mean, if they came out and told me, like, look, we want this on our servers, and we're going to have it on our servers and leave it at that, I'd have been like, okay, it sucks. It'd be the same thing with Diablo. Like, I don't like it, but I'll accept it. But with this whole, like, saying they're so complex and this lies, it's frustrating, I guess.
They should know better, too, given the community on the internet and the gaming community, that giving out something like that is just a personal challenge. Someone's going to be out there and figure it out just to be able to spite you. And sure enough, less than
precisely
a day, someone did.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's how all these systems, like, all these systems are thwarted almost immediately. I mean, always on DRM for almost any game, you give gamers even a week, and all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I cracked it. I mean, there you go. I have the ISO up right now. You can torrent it, and it works just fine. Like, yep. It's absolutely ridiculous, because they're putting so much time into being like, oh, well, don't steal our product. And why, man? We understand that people are pirating, but as Valve has shown, if you just give people the game as efficiently and quickly and easily as possible, they'll pay money just to not have to go and be like, oh, well, let me go download the torrent, and then I got to install the cracked version, and maybe there's going to be a patch to it, and I'm going to have to keep up with the upkeep, and, you know, if they find out, then I'm going to have to wipe the drive or whatever. Like, if you just provide an easy way to do it, really easy. I don't know. Just EA, to wrap this all up, EA has kind of done, like, has done a horrible job with a whole bunch of IPs, SimCity being the pinnacle of how they have monumentally screwed up, and John Riccitiello is paying for it. He may be just a figurehead to leave, you know, to try and win back favor with gamers, but I mean, ultimately, you know, he like he was the mouth of the company, and the company was going in a specific direction, and he got burned for it. And I think maybe he shouldn't have gotten burned, but EA, the company, is rightfully burnable for this, because this is absolutely ridiculous. We don't need online always DRM. This game could have run offline. They didn't have to lie to us. They didn't have to do these PR shenanigans. All they had to do was tell the truth. And if gamers showed up and said, we want an offline mode, and they say, either A, we don't want to do it, or B, okay, give us a few weeks, and released a giant patch for it that enabled offline mode, literally nothing would happen. Everything would be okay.
Yep.
It's and ridiculous.
With no segue at all, we're going to talk about PETAcraft.
Oh, man. So I didn't even know anything about this. Whenever we were talking about topics for the podcast, somebody was like, oh, yeah, you hear about PETA at the StarCraft 2 launch? And I was like, no.
No.
Because that's not a thing that happened. You're lying. And no. I looked it up, and oh, it's a thing that happened.
It really is. Oh,
it's
my God.
So crazy.
Okay, so not made up.
So, Devin, take it away.
Oh my God. No. Colby, you get this one.
Okay. So basically there's a, the latest, update for, StarCraft 2 just showed up, Heart of the Swarm. A whole bunch of people were really excited about it. And there was a launch party going on, and at the launch party, all of a sudden, PETA shows up, which is, you would think it's a video game that doesn't have anything to do with animals. What are you doing, EA? Like, I could understand if it was like Manhunt, in which you can like suffocate people with bags, and I think you could kill dogs in that game. Anyway, but I could understand if they showed
drowning
up.
Drowning people. It's still happening.
Yeah, you can still drown people. It's great.
Yeah.
And so they show up, not to talk about, like, because there's no like workhorses in the game that are being exploited. There's no like animal testing on orangutans that are just hanging around.
There aren't any human animals in that game.
No.
Human.
So they
animals?
Are advocating.
Or animals, male, whatever.
They're advocating for Zergling rights. That's right.
Yeah.
Zerglings have feelings is what their poster read. They gave a poster. It was actually nicely done. The drawing of the Zergling was relatively cute.
Yeah, it is.
But it was kind of poorly drawn.
It's PETAcraft 2. It's Heart for the Swarm.
Yeah, there you go. Heart for the Swarm. Oh,
Zerglings
so
have
good.
Feelings too. Expand your heart.
Here's the funny thing. Let's take aside. I mean, we'll get to the part that we're there, you know, pixels. But we'll get to that here in just a second. But for one, they don't. It's StarCraft lore that they're part of the hive mind. The literal definition of Zergling is a mindless creature that doesn't feel anything. They can't think. They can't feel. They don't have any emotions. They don't have any thoughts. They're just acting bodies of the swarm, part of the hive mind. There's only one entity in all of the Zerg race that has any thoughts, and that's Kerrigan, and she is just filled with rage. So, what are you doing, PETA? Did you just get bored? Was somebody sitting there like, man, you know, I really wish that PETA would pay for me to fly out to this to the StarCraft party, but I can't. I can't really justify it. Maybe.
Oh my god, that is more believable, but it's seriously, they still, a lot of the online community still cannot tell if this is just a masterful troll on PETA's part, or if they're really making complete fools of themselves through doing this. It's just, holy cow. They do some pretty insane things before, sure, but to go as far as to push for the rights of online semi-animals of a future world that doesn't exist because it's online, wow.
Yeah, it's a fictional race full of things that can't feel because they have the inability to do so. They could have picked literally anything. They could have been like, oh, well, the Covenant and Halo, I mean, they're kind of people. We can advocate for their rights. I don't know why you're just killing the grunts. I mean, the grunts have feelings, too. They go, wort, wort, wort. Come on. And they would have been even more justified to do that than to be like, oh, yeah, no, Zerglings have feelings. They don't! not even in the universe that they exist in do they have feelings, let alone in ours where they are a combination of ones and zeros on a screen, on your hard drive, you have to load them, what are you doing, PETA?
Above all this, no matter what the reasoning for this happening, in the end, it was just them trying to grab at attention.
Of course, that's what
this
it is.
This was the wrong way to do that. This
the very
did not
wrong way
help
to do
their
that.
Reputation in the least. No. It just solidified even more stupidity on their front.
The only thing that makes me sad, that really frustrates me, is that if there's going to be like one or two people, that two older people that like read online about this and then start believing that Zerglings have feelings that were torturing animals, air quotes, in games, and then they're going to like believe that all games are evil. And it's just going to like perpetuate that idea.
Well, I'm not going to be worried about that, because that's the same people that are really worried about the games like Grand Theft Auto, in which you can beat up a hooker in the car and then steal the money that you just paid her for quote-unquote services.
Which, by the way, awesome.
True. Yeah, there's also that. But, I mean, there's a lot of things out there that an older generation will be worried about in terms of game influence. So I'm not really too concerned about PETA having influence on children, because in the end it's still PETA.
But see, what worries me is the PETA has if PETA has even influence on like two or three parents that have children, that kind of perpetuate that incorrect assumption of that video games are bad and bad.
Then
influence.
There's nothing we could have done anyways.
Yep, I just don't like the fact that that's a possibility.
I know, but that's out of our control. I mean, the parents can raise their children as they see fit. That's fine and all. But, I mean, if it's going to be as far as where the parents are willing to be influenced by something like this, then they would have been influenced by something of similar quality for terms of rules with games. So I'm really trying to word this delicately, and I'm just going to stop there.
good idea. So, okay, we're not 100% sure that this is real, right?
Right.
If the PETA website is PETA.org, sure enough, PETA.org/b/thepedophile/archive2013/03/11. So I'm at a webpage right now, which claims, this is their site. They say, we did this. They designed the posters. They designed the flyers. And here's what they have to say on the matter. Quote, "So remember, while Zerglings are not real, there may be many equally strange and exotic animals we share this planet with who deserve our empathy. Just because crocodiles and snakes look alien to us doesn't make it okay to skin them alive for a handbag, shoes, or a belt. But they have feelings! They're not hive mind!" Anyway, and if we had to share our world with the Zerg in reality, which, no, we wouldn't, because they would have murdered us by now, I'd like to think that we'd make an effort to understand and respect them, rather than sending out the battle cruisers, because the alternative to having empathy for other beings is about as grim as it gets, whether you're a Terran, a Zerg, or a Protoss. No!
I like how they couldn't even get the proper strategy against a Zerg, like, right. Oh, the best.
No, they can't... They don't know.
That's what people are going to focus on. They got the strategy wrong. Not they're actually doing
this. But I just love the fact they couldn't even get that right.
The truth is, as a gamer and as a PETA staffer, I get excited about combining my passions. That would be great if you played StarCraft and you were like, okay, here's a thing. I think maybe we should do this. And you had an argument for it, but you don't.
Yeah.
What you have is Zergs are like animals. We can prove they're not. We can prove within the game they're not. We can prove in real life they're not. And if Zerg shared the planet with us, we would all undoubtedly be dead. We all know that.
What?
We've all seen the Zerg Rush.
If PETA is being very serious about this, why did they choose StarCraft? I mean, there are so many other games out there they could have gone towards. I mean, look at Assassin's Creed 3 and the way that, yes, you are Native American and you could hunt, but you're still able to hunt and skin animals in it. It doesn't really show it, but it happens. So, yep. But we're going to go after the Zerglings instead? Forget the deer. They have enough protection?
I mean, and even more than that, so they've gone off after these really big series, this is just the first time I think that they've forayed into, I guess they're not so huge series, so like, they did Pokemon Black and Blue, which was their, you know, oh my god, we're abusing animal rights in Pokemon, yeah. Super Tanuki Skin 2D, which was, oh my god. Yeah, that.
I forgot about that one.
And Cooking Mama, Mama Hurts Animals, which, by the way, I have both of the wallpapers they gave out as my wallpaper in alternation, and they're beautiful, but you just, it's, why? Don't get me wrong, this is drumming up support for, or not support, but this is drumming up, awareness. I don't know, press for them, I'll say.
It's awareness, it's press for them, and it's awareness of wanting to get the attitude out there that in terms of animal rights, it shouldn't be kept to only what you would do in real life. You should never have the attitude whatsoever towards any kind of animal torture, whether in movies or video games and all that. They're trying to make it, they're just trying to reach out and give a broad spectrum in terms of this kind of attitude, but they're still doing it really, really dumb.
Yep. I can't even, whenever I read this, one of our editors was like, I mean, PETA does a lot of stupid things, but we may want to validate that this is actually true. And I was like, okay, I Googled and there were like 30,000 results, the number one of which was on the PETA website. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense, PETA.
Shall we move on from this?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Term?
Let's move on to some actual happy topics here.
So, actually, I'd like to hold off on Ouya because there's some big news real quick that I think we can talk about super quick, and that's Team Fortress 2. We could talk about the evolution as a game, but the news just came out today.
It's a great game, guys.
Heard of it, go play it. Is free. You can pick class. It's like Counter-Strike, but not.
Not.
Yeah, you better take that back there, Case.
Watch it. Anyways.
Another podcast.
The Oculus Rift people came out and they said that Team Fortress 2 is going to be the first game to support it. The update is going to be out in the next few weeks. And so everybody who has a developer's kit for the Oculus Rift can play it immediately as soon as the update hits. Whenever the Oculus hits on at stores, retail stores, whenever you can actually order it, Team Fortress 2 will already be ready to run it. And by that time, it'll be perfect.
To slap down for a developer kit, but alas, $300.
Yeah, it's so much money. Like, developers probably have them, obviously, because it's a developer kit.
They have the developer's kit. I'm glad we
did. Yeah, developers Mystery and developer soul. Kits. You know, it's really nice when you can write stuff like $600 gaming headset off on your taxes. Good job, developers. You figured it out.
Right.
I think it's really cool because originally it was going to ship Doom 3 BFG edition, and apparently they couldn't. I don't know what happened. They couldn't get it fixed. They couldn't get it finished. I don't know what happened, but. I mean, in the same breath as they were like, yeah, it's not going to come out with Doom 3 BFG edition, they were like, but it is going to come out with Team Fortress 2!
Which is probably a marked improvement, considering the fact that you can play with online with your friends. I'm kind of curious why Doom 3 couldn't be a thing, because they had video of people playing entire levels with it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean,
maybe it was a licensing problem. I
doubt it's a licensing problem because it was John Carmack himself was the one who was starting up this entire thing. So, I mean, the only thing that I can imagine is that it was gating their release. And they had a release date. They didn't want to push it back. And they sat down and crunched the numbers and were like, okay, it's going to take another 8 weeks of programming to finish this. And then we're going to have to do final validation printing, getting all the materials ready. And that's going to delay our release by at least another month. And they were like, no. Can't do it. We don't have time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can understand business decision, but, I mean, maybe they'll release it as a patch later. I don't know. It's just...
Maybe. But the device itself just looks unbelievable. It really
does.
Oh, I want to see... I want to know how they get it to have such a low amount of latency for the viewing around, because we were actually talking about this a little bit earlier, and I was thinking, you know, if it really isn't kind of a real time with the movement in game and they're doing it for TF2, you are going to give yourself so many neck cramps trying to play Scout as you're just looking around everywhere, and you have to actually whip your head around instead of just whipping the mouse around at those kind of speeds. And the best Oculus Rift players can be the ones vomiting all over their Rifts.
Oh, God.
It's true. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you're playing as you, if you're playing as super fast scout class, I mean, can you just imagine you're going to be bobbing up and down at a breakneck pace? Just, I just, I also, I want to feel, I want to be so immersed in the game that whenever I do a double jump with scout, I feel that thing that you feel inside of you whenever like you're just a little bit too high up and you're like, I just want to feel that. It would be so cool.
So you want to feel fear.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. I want to feel fear of heights. I want to feel fear of getting hurt because I fall down things. Like, that's, that to me is
you actually
amazing.
Get headshot wearing one of those things, you want something to punch you in the head.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Okay, as a good segue, the first game that I thought about that I would want to play the Oculus Rift with was Amnesia. I started playing
Sniper
Amnesia.
Oh, God.
I started playing Amnesia, The Dark Descent, recently, and I think that the amount of fear that'd be put into your brain by playing with the Oculus Rift with, like, headphones would be insane.
Do not ever play that game wearing those around me, because I will mess with you and screw with you so much while you are playing that you will not see me, you will not hear me, and I'm going to be doing things. I'm going to be throwing things at your body and tripping you everywhere. It's going to be great.
I mean, it's bad enough that the game is scary, like when you turn off the lights, put on the headphones and stuff and play, but oh, with the Oculus Rift.
Play it during a thunderstorm. It's awesome. Oh.
So okay. I'm making a decision consciously right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a PewDiePie like setup. I'm going to have my webcam pointed at me with my Oculus Rift, and I'm going to be playing Amnesia or Amnesia Machine of Pigs or Machine for Pigs, whatever it's going to be called. Whenever the Oculus comes out, that's what I want to do. God. Is I want to be absolutely terrified out of my face. Because, I mean, I know friends we got a friend named Will. What he would do is he would turn the game on for 20 minutes at a time because he couldn't handle it after that. After that, he would stop and he would get a drink, down the booze, get back to the game for 20 minutes and be like, I can't do it anymore. It hurts. I better get another drink. And that would be his entire night.
Okay, so Colby, what would be the first game you would pick and play with the Oculus Rift?
Honestly, I mean, I'm going to have to go. This is going to sound real cliche, but probably Counter-Strike. I mean, I play Counter-Strike all the time. I think that would be really cool to be immersed in something like that. But even more than that, if you gave me the option of having like two joystick controllers or just one, then something like MechWarrior would be awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be. Yeah, you'd have the pods, like those BattleTech pods you'd see in certain like race car or racetrack places and whatnot. That would be awesome. I would have to go with an Elder Scrolls game. If, you know, Skyrim.
Ooh,
I would have to go with
Skyrim.
That
would be good.
Oh, man, that would be great. Imagine just, like, walking through Tamriel and just, like, it being night and looking up and seeing, like, you know, the galaxy.
The Aurora Borealis and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have to go with Iron Grip.
Oh, God.
Yeah, literally everything is a square. It's just squares.
I'd probably go with BioShock or BioShock Infinite if they can do it. I think the immersion that you would feel being able to like look like turn your crane your neck up and down looking at the world would be a really breathtaking experience.
I agree. It seems like literally any game you name, it seems like the Oculus would make better, except for like
World of Goo,
Mario Tennis. What I'm wondering, what would be the worst game for Oculus Rift?
Any third person, Mass Effect would be a bad choice.
I don't know. If you can move it, Mass Effect into a first person kind of a game.
But would you want to? Would you want to have Mass Effect from like a first person Commander Shepard point of view?
I actually would, because I know a lot of people have played Mass Effect going for different aspects since each decision can really change the course of the story, but I have one Shepard in my mind, and I am not able to play Mass Effect as any other Shepard except as my Shepard, because I've become so enthralled with that kind of a story arc and that kind of universe that playing it any other way just wouldn't make sense to me. So it would work for me to do it kind of a first person, because it would be what Shepard is to me. But I can see why it wouldn't work at the same time. Yes. So, I don't know. Another game I would say a third person game or like an RTS, if you want to go too obvious with it. You know, play Command & Conquer with that and it would not do anything.
Actually, I wouldn't mind doing that. If they could set up if you could still play with the keyboard and mouse, and they could set up the Rift where you could zoom in on certain parts of the screen or have your eyes scroll, kind of like tilt your head to scroll the screen a bit, that might give you a little bit more perspective, a better perspective, if you could change a little bit. Probably not as good. I would love to do puzzle games with this.
Like, Antichamber, that would be cool.
Antichamber would be amazing.
That would be cool.
Antichamber or The Witness. Ah!
The what?
The Witness, the one that they were showing off for PS4.
Oh, God, yeah, you're right. Ooh.
There it is.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Ooh, Audio Surf, yeah. Sorry, I'm just going through my Steam list right now.
God, there's so many good things. I can't even imagine. I can't.
I found the winner. Moving on.
Oh, Duke Nukem Forever. There I'm actually staring at the
Duke
box right now.
Duke Nukem Forever, Oculus calling it.
It's going to be so good. Whenever you can actually draw on the whiteboard and see what you're drawing real close up, yeah, that's going to be super
good. If you get
the
Oculus Rift with the pre-order for the future Duke Nukem game, it comes with a little plush turd for you to throw in the game.
Yes! Oh man, my day is so much better now.
You remembered you could do that in a game.
Yeah, I can't even. Good. I'm real glad,
man,
Duke.
This is gross.
I wonder actually if they're gonna announce anything. Oh, by the way, I should mention this just real quick. Arista Gamer is gonna be covering PAX East live from the event this year. We're going to be interviewing, I can't reveal one of the places, but we're going to be interviewing and playing Saints Row 4, Watch Dogs, Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD Remix, Assassin's Creed 4, and there's some other titles, so don't worry, you're going to catch everything that I can as quickly as I can. Every night I'm going to try to write something up and post it, give you pictures, give you videos, and then I'll make a compilation video at the very end. But keep an eye out for our PAX coverage. Anyway, get back to the discussion. Let's get on to some MechWarrior.
I just wanted to take the moment to talk, just bring up MechWarrior a little bit, because I have been very, very impressed with how that game has been handled for free-to-play. It's a lot like how PlanetSide has become a huge success, in that it's the community involvement with MechWarrior. And, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have played MechWarrior and played through these Battletech games for many, many years, back in, MechWarrior 2 and beforehand and such. And so there's a lot of veterans out there. And the great thing that I'm loving about this game is that if you're actually involved with people that do have a communication and that know at least a little bit of experience of what they're trying to do on that specific map, you're going to have a lot better of a time than you would just kind of running and gunning solo, because it's not a commando kind of game. It's not that fast paced in that you just run up, shoot something, and hope that they have less armor than you. That there is strategy involved, but the community involvement with it, and especially even with the Facebook group or something, I mean, they're constantly getting feedback from people. They're constantly asking questions. They're coming up with new ideas for future mechs they're going to have. There's constant deals going on for these kind of special class mechs that are on sale for a limited amount of time with your in-game money or with real money, as free-to-play games tend to do. And I just wanted to throw out there that I've been very, very happy with the progress of this game, that it's not been a letdown in the least bit whatsoever. And I just want to see it continue to grow as it is, because it is a ton of fun and I highly recommend it.
And that's actually so I don't play MechWarrior, but hearing that coming from Devin is a really big deal, because he does, and the MechWarrior is one of his things. So,
yeah,
I mean, to hear...
I played a lot of it. The interesting thing is, with this particular MechWarrior, they don't have as big of a support for joystick quite yet, because I got a joystick about 6 or 7 years ago to play some old MechWarrior games, and it works great, but with this one, your basic keyboard and mouse setup is still pretty much the best setup you can have, and it works very, very smoothly, and it the interface with it, it's running very well, and I can't stress that enough, that this is a game definitely worth checking out, especially when it's free. I mean, it's not one of those that you're just going to lose some time on and then regret it. It's one of those, if you really get into it and you get used to the different pace as compared to, PlanetSide 2 or any other FPS out there, it's really worth it.
And
so that's my two bits. That's all.
It seems great. I can't. I have it. I still haven't played it. I'm actually a little bit intimidated because it's Mech Warrior and it seems like World of Tanks, and that I'll just be like, yeah, I don't know. I'll start off with this mech, I guess, and I'll just run into the map, and then I die immediately, and I'm like, oh, I'm just really bad.
Yep.
Think of it like when you first started playing Counter-Strike. I mean, you died about 30 times before you got 2 kills in it. You just have to play a lot and get practicing, and you get used to the style. You get used to, okay, this is not Call of Duty whatsoever. That's why this game's so good. And you don't have those kind of strategies. Things change as you just play more and get practice. MechWarrior's no different. I mean, you play it enough, and you get used to the different style and the different tactics and the overall feel of it, and then it really starts building onto you.
I have nothing to add, literally, because it sounds cool. I'm serious. It sounds really cool. And so if you want to play it, it's out for free right now. MechWarrior Online. Go Google it. If you have a Mac, cry to yourself and do dual boot. Get some boot camp going, and then maybe, you know, use an operating system designed for games. I just stabbed at all of our Mac fans, all 2 of them. I'm sorry, guys, but you knew it was coming. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to the Ouya, as Casey was suggesting. So the Ouya is supposed to be coming out at the end of this month. I don't know if they're shipping at the very end of this month or not. That's what I understand. It's supposed to be like the 28th, I think. So I'm not sure when I'm going to get mine, but I do know that as soon as I do it, we're going to do a video review on it. I'm still sort of debating about whether or not we should do a video review before that and then have another video on the Ouya, but we'll get all that ironed out, and you'll obviously know by the time the video comes out. But I'm really excited about it. I heard a live stream event from the CEO. And she sounds really excited about it too. And she said that she was asked by I guess the editor in chief of The Verge, Joshua. He asked her, so you know what games are gonna lure me to Ouya away from playing Call of Duty on the Xbox or away from playing, you know, Counter-Strike on the PC? And she was like, well, it's a completely different experience. You know, we want to offer games that are high quality, but games that also do a lot, you know, a lot more different things. So she said that there are currently like 3 or 4 games that she is obsessed with and that everybody in the office plays often. So that sounds pretty good. And I'm also, so one of the things that I'm really excited about is the fact that every game on there has to have a demo mandatorily. Every game has to have a demo, which is great. It's a great idea. So I'd like to see how that's executed. What do you guys think about it?
I think that at first it's going to be actually low selling. Like, I think it's going to be a fun thing to grab, but I think that people aren't going to want to invest in it just yet. Because one of the things that they talk about with the Ouya being fully customizable, like moddable. Mod capable. They want that. Then I kind of want to wait to see what people do with it. Like, I think out of the box is going to be an interesting concept. It's going to have cool games for it. But I think what's going to be interesting is when you start getting people that, you know, kind of break the rules. You know, it's kind of like the idea of, like, to me, it looks like they're giving you a box saying, here are the rules of what a game console looks like. Here's the things it can do. Now, break all those rules. Do something, make it do something it shouldn't be able to do. And I think that will be what will draw people to it.
Well, so they have some streaming partners that they're going to announce soon. I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to replace, you know, your streaming box, your Roku, your Apple TV or whatever anytime soon. But, you know, it's going to have those things that are built into it. It's a $99 game console that can play games that are already on Android and some that are not. So Ouya has its own specific store, and I think it can also play games on Android. I'm not really clear on that, but I do know that Final Fantasy III is coming to it, so you've already got a large name title right there, Final Fantasy. There are Ouya versions of, other the games that are currently on Android that are going to be coming out there. I hear I'm actually in close communication with an Android app developer, and what I understand is that he's going to bring his app to Ouya potentially. It depends on, you know, what licensing fees are and everything, but you heard it here first, folks. The potential exists that Yeah Dog for Android is going to come out for Ouya.
Oh boy. See, that's the thing though, is that the Ouya seems to have some of these cool little peripherals, or it's going to have these little additions and fun aspects of it, but it's all going to be kind of campy. I mean, the mods that are going to be coming with it and all, I just don't know if that's going to be enough for me to justify getting it, because I mean, I got the computer. I can already do that stuff. Okay. I don't know. I don't feel like it's speaking enough of a uniqueness to me as, say, like the PlayStation 4 was, in the terms of how they're really changing around their social network. We talked about that last podcast. Go listen to it, because I don't want to go into it right now.
Very nice.
But I'm not feeling it, man. I'm not getting enough uniqueness, man.
Okay, good plug. Here's something that I want to point out, is that of all the things that we've talked about, we've gotten one confirmed game for it. Like, we've gotten, sure, it'll play Android games from the Android market, it'll have its own store, but other than that, we haven't had any other confirmed Ouya games. Like, Ouya, either exclusive or otherwise.
It sounds like the developers don't even know themselves.
Sir, you are a liar. Really? You are a liar and a fraud.
Oh, well.
So, you want me to...
Tell me wrong.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's see. Okay, DFA, Double Fine Adventure is coming. Sure. The Cave is coming.
Okay.
Let's see. Legend of Aetherius, Human Element Prequel, Gun Blitz, Gray the Lost Technology, Gravy, Gorgeous Guardians, Kaiken, whatever that means.
Okay.
Echoes of Eternia, A Tofu Tale, 100 Rogues, Air Mech, Beast Boxing Turbo. Beast Boxing Turbo sounds way better, though.
Okay.
Offensive Combat, that kind of sounds like Counter-Strike, which, by the way, did you know that the Counter-Strike, like, the dude who made the original Counter-Strike mod is making a new game that's basically Counter-Strike?
Yep, I just put those news up today.
I actually read your post. I completely forgot that's where I read it. Yeah!
Today, guys.
I would like to point out that all of those games you pointed out are coming soon. Are any of those launch titles?
Let me see.
Ooh. Do we have a throwback? Did you just get whipped?
Yes. Okay. March 2013, 100 Rogues. March 2013, A Tofu Tale. Final Fantasy III, March 2013, which is, by the way, whenever we get it. And that's actually before it comes out for retail, which is going to be this summer.
I don't care. I just want to play this tofu game. I keep hearing tofu.
And it sounds great.
Sounds like tofu.
Positron, Red, Rival Threads, Last Class Heroes, Saturday Morning RPG. All of these are coming out March 2013. Yummy Circus and The Ball. You remember The Ball from the Steam, from the potato, what, the potato pack? You remember The Ball. And The Ball is coming.
Sure, right. We remember The Ball.
Then you, sir, have proved me wrong.
Of course I proved you wrong. I'm just way more informed than you.
You actually are, because I haven't checked on news in a while.
I'm just on Wikipedia.
I love that you were stating that it doesn't have anything when you didn't.
Yeah, good job.
I am a terrible person. No.
Yeah.
Okay, but even still, with all of that, which sounds awesome, you're gonna pay $200 for the system?
No. Nope.
Okay. Oh, sorry. $100. $100 nope. For the system.
$100 for the. I already paid $100 for the system. So.
Well, yeah. Sir. Well, that's because you are insanely insane. And
that's
rich,
that's not true. So there are also some official status unconfirmed games. There's Minecraft, obviously. Basically, Notch has said that. It may be coming to Ouya if there's a large enough consumer base. There's already an Android version, but, and I'm quoting this, it isn't exactly that super great. So that's good. Let's see. Madden NFL 2012, apparently.
Yes!
Which I know we all want.
Yes!
And Grand Theft Auto 3, potentially.
No, go back to Madden.
Madden NFL 2012.
Yes!
Great. So there you go. There's a whole bunch of games that are coming out for Ouya. The streaming services include XBMC, Vivo, iHeartRadio. These are all services that are kind of second-rate streaming things. But, you know, they're from what from what Julie said, and we're on first name basis now, by the way, Julie and I, we're bros. She said that, that they're working on getting more companies, that they're going to be announcing them as the date gets closer. So, by the time they actually release in stores, they're going to have a ton of support, I'm sure. But by the time it actually gets to us, we'll have some games to play. We'll have some things to do, and we can evaluate the console based off of its developments there.
Awesome. Sounds like plan.
And what Plex Media Center. Plex Media Center is an app, I know because it's for Roku as well, which can connect over to your computer via Wi-Fi and pull your local files. So if you want to, I don't know, watch Toradora Season 1, Episode 6, high quality on your TV, you can just stream it over Wi-Fi. This is great. Just good.
Yes.
Thanks, Devin. Apparently, there's also emulators that are coming out for it. So that's Super GNES for cool. The Super NES. We got Mupin 64 Plus Ouya, whatever that is, for Nintendo 64, and Emuya, which is for Nintendo, Game Boy, Atari 2600, and Super NES. But that's going to be coming out in March. So, woo!
Yes.
So there you go. All of a sudden, you can play your old games again on your TV without having to get
thank
the cords.
God, I paid $100 for that.
You don't even know the half of it, buddy. All right. Well, it's about
I'm
time
tired.
For us to get going. So
yeah, let's end this.
We'll go ahead and cut it off here. Next time, we may be talking about the evolution of TF2 as a game, how it was balanced, then it became unbalanced, then they got hats, and now nobody cares. So.
I'm gonna just go ahead and say that that's not everyone's opinion. I still play the hell out of that game.
Oh no, I love the game. Don't get me wrong, I love the game, but I don't think anybody cares that it's unbalanced in some parts.
Yeah, nobody cares.
No, it's still mostly relative. You know what? We're gonna talk about it next time.
That's
up.
True. All right, guys. So for the month of March, this has been the Arista Gamer Podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter. We have all these social media outlets. Go to our YouTube page and please subscribe and like us. It helps us out.
A Tumblr.
I work a lot of hours on the videos, and I just want a little better,
really
right? You know.
Well, he works on them anyways.
Yeah, I do stuff in them.
Stuff.
I don't do the Tumblr. Somebody else does the Tumblr. So if it's woefully out of date, don't complain to me.
Yeah.
Complain to Casey, who's the official owner. All right, we'll see you next month. Bye, everybody.
Later.